Hare Krishna. It's a great honor to be here this morning. Great privilege on this auspicious day. I would just like to correct one thing first. And I'd like somebody else to correct the sound system. Correct one thing first. Shruti Prabhu said, I came all the way from Ireland. Just to let you all know, that takes about 50 minutes. So... it's not such a great ordeal. Of course, maybe he was thinking there was still volcanic ash in the air and I had to swim. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada, I was reading through some initiation lectures, and he used to always emphasize the principle of remembering. Krishna Matya Astu. Always to remember Krishna and to never forget him, like that. And he explained that that's the principal qualification for taking initiation. As you know, traditionally there are so many rules and regulations, and in essence, all of us here today, in many respects, would be unqualified to take initiation. But on this principle of remembering Krishna and sincerely trying to remember Krishna at all times, that's the topmost qualification. And as a result of that, Srila Prabhupada, he took that risk in initiating people, even though he came in for much criticism for those for doing that. But that was the principle that he worked on, that if we're sincerely trying to remember Krishna, then from Krishna's point of view, samoham sarvabhuteshu, that everybody is equal. It's not that Krishna's making distinctions like that. So once that qualification was there, that we were sincerely trying to remember Krishna, Srila Prabhupada was happy to initiate us. And why? Because this would help with the purificatory process for ourselves, and consequently, in us becoming more purified, then we become also more qualified to be able to share Krishna and give Krishna to everybody else like that. So how to remember Krishna at all times? How to actually do that? Shakalam eva vihaya durat. Prabodhananda Saraswati tells us that whatever we have learnt previously, whatever we have accumulated in our mind and in our memory banks throughout not just this lifetime, but many, many, many lifetimes, that we should remove that. We should kick that all out and remove that. And then from the time that we start our devotional service, we should refresh our memory banks and refresh all our thought processes with thoughts of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Actually, he gave that example from a kind of preaching perspective. I think the short term would be kind of flatter and then smash. So he would encourage people. He would flatter them, you know, maybe important people, wealthy people, senior people, influential people, would flatter them, flatter them, flatter them, flatter them. And then eventually they would say, oh, thank you very, very much. What is it that you want? And then he would say, Sakala meva viaya durat. Whatever you have learned, kick it out. And now from this point on, remember and think of Krishna. So that's how to remember, to forget all of these other things. And just so we have full time to focus and think of Krishna. So, taking initiation. What's the significance of taking initiation? Prabhupada quotes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he makes reference to the fact that actually the chanting of the holy name is so powerful. It's so powerful that one doesn't actually need to take initiation to achieve perfection. That's actually not required. So then we can ask, well then, why do we do that? Why do we take initiation? So really it's a matter of commitment, making more commitment. and commitment, of course, is a very, very important thing, very serious thing. In the Nectar of Devotion, we understand that, you know, to make a commitment to something and to stick to it, even if that commitment that you make is actually a lesser commitment than somebody else is making, but then they don't maintain that commitment, better that the lesser commitment that you make and maintain to that, that's a better situation to be in. So taking vows and making commitment is a very, very important thing, and also very significant in relation to the fact that the chanting of the Holy Name is so powerful that we can achieve perfection. So what is that commitment? Today you'll make a commitment to chant 16 rounds of Maha Mantra daily and to follow the four rules. And if we make that commitment, then we become such powerful messengers and powerful components of Srila Prabhupada's family. And that's really the most important thing. We were talking a little earlier, and Maharaj was telling me that the devotees today will commit their loyalty to Srila Prabhupada's mission. And it's such an important thing. We're all one family. It's Srila Prabhupada's mission. And as we go forward, the unity of that mission is so important, because when we're united, as Prabhupada told us so many times, when that unity is there, there is so much potency and so much strength and so much ability to achieve so much. So that commitment that you're making today is such a serious and important commitment. And if honored and maintained, it will help Srila Prabhupada's movement just grow. Just like today, we have a full temple, and as we're being told, it's been filmed in all the different rooms and all over the internet. We can see that if we maintain that unity and that strength, that within due course of time, it will be live on the BBC, these initiation ceremonies, because we'll just exponentially grow and increase Srila Prabhupada's family. So thank you all today for making that commitment. It's very, very wonderful. And I'd just like to finish by saying that I don't think I personally have attended an initiation ceremony with so many new initiates. I was thinking of the ceremony today, and I was thinking of my own initiation day. I think there were six of us. So there was just one getting initiated and six in the room. No, there was actually six getting initiated and a few more in the room. But we can see how it's just growing and growing and growing. But then I also thought of a little story I heard one time. And in particular, I was thinking of, being a little bit compassionate to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. The story that I heard, and I hope that you will imbibe it in relation to His Holiness, is that one spiritual master one time visited a place that I was in, and some of his disciples were there. And every time one of the disciples came to him, he said to each of the same thing to each of the disciples. He says, "Now, have you learned to pronounce your name properly?" And they would say, "Yes, Maharaj, yes, Maharaj." They say, "So what is it?" And they would say, "Oh, Krishnadas." "Ah, oh, Krishna, that's very good." Anyway, Krishnadas, and many other names. So afterwards, I said to him, "Maharaj, why were you asking all your disciples, have you learned to pronounce your name properly?" And he said, "Oh, just so as I would know what their name is." So, actually, I have to relay a little story now I've remembered. I can't remember the detail of it, but perhaps Maharaj will remember. I was in Chowpatty a couple of years ago, and I went into Maharaj's room. And when I went in, Maharaj was reading, I think one of the diaries of one of the devotees, I can't remember, and Maharaj was reading, and he was laughing heartily. And I asked Maharaj, "Oh, please share the joke, Maharaj." And he said, "Oh, I'm just reading about an initiation ceremony. And some devotee was getting sannyas initiation. And when the time came for him to come and get his name from Srila Prabhupada, get conferred as a sannyas from Srila Prabhupada, he came up and Prabhupada said, he was just about to do it, and then Prabhupada said, "What's your name anyway?" So anyway, if ever somebody forgets your name, I do it all the time, you can have a little sympathy, and particularly for your Guru Maharaj. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Jai. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna, everyone. I'm sitting up here on behalf of the initiation committee. So the first thing I should do is apologize to all of you, because we're the bad ones. The initiation committee is either loved or hated, but I think sometimes it's hated, because we're the ones that really push and pull and pulverize before you come sitting here. But for me, there's no better sight than to see all of you sitting here on this, your initiation day. It's wonderful. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Vrindavan is surrounded by digpalas. Before one enters Vrindavan, one has to go through Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva protects the holy dham, where we can gain entrance to Krishna. So it's not unnatural that one should be tested before one makes a big commitment in one's life. And, you know, when one thinks of initiation, Prabhupada said different things. It is a test coming to initiation, but all of spiritual life is a test. Sometimes when Prabhupada was asked, what is a guru? Sometimes he would say many different things. He would, one time he picked up his spectacles and he said, "Now I see," and then he put his spectacles on and he said, "Now I see better." And he took his spectacles and he said, "This is guru. You see, but with the guru's help you see better." That's a very simple thing. But on another occasion, when he was asked, "What is initiation?" he said, "It is the day that you say, 'Yes, sir, I will do whatever you say.'" At one time. So from today, your commitment is, "Yes, sir, I will do whatever you say." And everybody will be asked in turn, "Will you do whatever is asked of you?" "Yes, I will do that, sir." Because the commitment that one requires in spiritual life is explained in the Shastra. It is said that in order for the soul to become free, Prabhupada says the disciple has to agree to commit suicide of the false ego, to give up everything that you thought that you were, to give up all those other labels, and just to be situated as a pure spirit soul in relationship to Guru and Krishna. And that is like death to one part of yourself. And that's the difficult thing. So initiation means the point at which you say, "Yes, I'm eager for that process to begin." It's said that when gold becomes burned, it becomes pure. When sugarcane juice becomes boiled, it becomes sweet. When sandalwood becomes rubbed against a stone, it becomes fragrant. So all these things, boiling, burning, rubbing, they hurt. There's pain involved. But actually from these things comes forth fragrance, sweetness, and purity. And that is spiritual life. It is sometimes not so comfortable. But in exchange for the discomfort of the things that I now say I'm prepared to give up, this is my initiation day, I'm prepared to give these things up, but what I'll get in response, what I'll get in return, we must be convinced that what we will get is so much more than what we will give up. And that's what allows you to be sitting here today with these beautiful flower garlands in front of Guru Maharaj, ready, willing, and able to make your vows. The thought that by becoming initiated, which is different from not being initiated, because it is a commitment, it is a promise, and is a conviction that I will now receive more, much, much more than I will ever give up. But don't forget that there may be some testing the day after initiation, and then the week after, and then the month after, because that is a prominent and permanent feature of spiritual life. I was looking in the attic just the other day. I was looking for a particular book that I thought I'd lost, and I came in a box of old papers, and I found my initiation letter. And Prabhupada writes in this letter to the temple president of Bhaktivedanta Manor. He said, "Enclosed is the beads." He said to the temple president, he said, "By your example, you should teach him. You should teach him how to follow all the rules and regulations, how to get up early in the morning, how to study my books, and by your own example, you should teach. And that was a very common thing for Prabhupada to write in an initiation letter. So that is a dual process, if you like, that locally we are pulverized, and then for light relief, Guru Maharaj comes and gives us blessings in different ways. And part of that blessing is also to test us, because being tested is also a blessing. So Krishna comes in many different forms, and today we receive not only our beads with open hands, but we say, yes, my dear Lord, whatever blessings you have to give me, for whatever I need that I don't yet have, in order to make me the person that I wish to become, today is the day when, through the agency of my Guru, I ask you, give me whatever you think that I need. So my hearty congratulations and my apologies for having said or done anything that might have offended you on the path to this day. But thank you very much and congratulations. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I am very grateful to be with all of you this morning. In this very sacred ceremony of initiation, on behalf of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and our Sri Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Parampara, Srila Prabhupada would begin ceremonies where vows were taken by chanting a particular verse. Om apavitra pavitrova sarabhavastam gatopiva yasmaret pundarikaksham sabhaya bhyantara suchi Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. In this single verse, the very essence of the purpose of initiation is revealed to us, as well as the very purpose of human life, to become purified. The translation is purified or unpurified, or even having passed through all the various circumstances of life, one who remembers the beautiful lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, becomes purified both within and without. Lord Chaitanya has taught us, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudhi Chidi Kori Yayudvai, that love for Krishna, Prema Bhakti, is dormant within the heart of every living being. But it has been covered for so long that the spirit soul forgets his or her own integral identity. And the greatest treasure that we are all seeking, the ananda, the pleasure of feeling Krishna's unlimited love and reciprocating with our own love. Due to that forgetfulness, we wander birth after birth after birth, trying to find that experience. But not knowing that this unlimited reservoir of love, like an ocean of sweet water, is within our own heart. We try to find it in the mirages of this mortal world. And under the illusion, we think there's some happiness, but eventually the happiness of this world, the pleasure of this world, is the source of all pain, because it causes us to divert our attention away from our real need. Like the musk deer. The musk deer has an organ within himself that emits this incredible fragrance, intoxicating fragrance. And there was a musk deer who was looking for that fragrance, wandering throughout the forest, putting himself in all kinds of dangerous, risky positions, trying to find it here and there and everywhere else, his whole life, not knowing that it's within himself. According to our tradition and according to our scriptures, we are all like that deer, seeking ananda, anandamayo byashat, seeking pleasure in so many ways, but never really finding it. As Prahlad Maharaj explained, it is the process of puna punascharvata charvananam, chewing that which has already been chewed. And even though when we come to the path of bhakti, we intellectually understand how foolish we are. We theoretically comprehend that the real pleasure of our heart's aspiration is in diverting our propensities toward the loving service of Krishna. Still, we are so habituated to this illusion, so addicted to these misconceptions, it's very difficult. But Krishna is so kind. Krishna is all attractive. Aishwaryasya samagrasya. He possesses all opulences. He's the ultimate source and the complete whole of all beauty, knowledge, strength, wealth, fame, and renunciation. Everything that we are infatuated by in this world is but a spark of Krishna's opulence. In fact, if you take all the beauty, all the strength, knowledge, all the attractive qualities, not only in this universe, but in all the universes, in the entire creation, and put them all together, they equal not even a single spark of the attraction of Krishna. All the attractive things in the whole creation together is not even a single ray of the sun compared to the sun of Krishna's attractive qualities. And the only reason why that little spark has any attraction is because it's coming from Krishna. Even an infinitesimal spark, a trace from one little ray, has such power to attract and infatuate our minds. What is the power of Krishna's attraction? So this name Krishna, all attractive, is such a suitable name for the Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead. Because ultimately that's the only thing life is about. Trying to connect something that attracts us and trying to somehow or other disconnect things that do not attract us. That's life in its summary form. Everything else is a detail. But when we come to Krishna consciousness, and we come to take our vows of commitment and initiation, we have come to this conclusion that the only real purpose of my life is to purify myself. And material nature is set up in such a way that if we have the focus to take shelter of Krishna, then whatever comes in our life is there to aid our purification, however much inconceivable it may be. There will be pleasures, there will be success, there will be honor. But the nature of this world, everything is built upon the principle of dualities. You can't have honor without dishonor. Pleasure and pain, happiness, distress, success, failure, victory, defeat, health, disease, birth, life, death, they are inevitable. So rather than just trying to cling on to the positive side and avoid the inevitable destiny of the negative side, we want to transcend this process by fixing our mind on what will purify us from these illusions and restore our true well-being to actually understand and experience Krishna. Bhakti atvananiya shakya saham evam vidurjana. Krishna tells in Gita, you cannot know Krishna by your own efforts, by any amount of knowledge, by any amount of austerities, by performing pujas, charities. We only can know Krishna when Krishna reveals himself to us. And how much he's trying. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. He descends into this world again and again and again just to attract our attention to what will make us happy. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yoviti tattvata. Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti sorjana. One who understands the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and activities within this world never has to take birth again in this material world, but attains Krishna, Krishna's abode, the abode of true peace, the abode of true ecstasy and love. That's why Krishna comes, to invite us all back home, again and again and again. To take this seriously is real intelligence. But in the process, the ups and the downs, the easy times, the hard times, the pleasures and the pains, they will come. No one can avoid it. Not in this material world. Whether you're a farmer or a king, man or a woman, whatever your religion, whatever your occupation, whatever your economic situation, you cannot avoid the dualities. And this material creation is set up in such a way to help us, if we're serious. Queen Kunti played, Vipadashantu Tashashwa Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru. Let calamities come, because when the difficulties appear, like Kripa Maya Prabhu was saying, whether we're ground against the stone of material circumstances like the sandalwood, or whether we're put in the fire of tribulation like gold. We take shelter of Krishna. Queen Kunti said, when these things happen to me, there's no one else I could turn to. I remember you, Krishna. And really, what does it mean to remember Krishna? Mahajano yena gatasa panta. We have to understand all philosophy in the context of the lives of the great souls. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, one cannot know Krishna by studying all the scriptures in the world and memorizing them all. By any amount of charity, austerities, pujas, pudras, mudras, yantras, tantras, mantras. We have to remember Krishna in a spirit of taking shelter of Krishna. Yegatamam papadyante tamstataiva bhajamya. Krishna reciprocates according to our surrender. Surrender really means taking shelter. Krishna, I'm yours. When Draupadi was being stripped naked by Dushasana in the court of the Kurus, she didn't just remember Krishna by going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Ram Ram Ram. She lifted her arms under as a symbol that I'm helpless. I have no one and nothing else except you, Krishna. Save me. That's how she remembered Krishna. When Gajendra was in the jaws of that crocodile, on the verge of death, he didn't just say, oh, Krishna, you know, I need you today. It was with absolute desperation. It was a single focus that your shelter is the only hope. He plucked a lotus flower and held it up. That lotus flower was symbolizing his life, his body, his mind, his words, his very life. And he chanted prayers. He remembered Krishna with single attention of taking shelter. And Krishna appeared instantly. Srila Prabhupada taught us if one time we could chant the holy name in that spirit of taking shelter, Krishna will reveal himself. All of our anartas will disappear. That is the power of remembering Krishna in the mood of taking shelter. That is the power of the holy name. All the karmas, all the anartas, all the conditioning from millions and millions of births can be erased by chanting Krishna's name even once in that spirit. We have to be hungry. Rupa Goswami said, lobha. Greed is the price of Krishna. Not the greed of this world. But what he's talking about, the eagerness, the intense eagerness to give our hearts, our lives to Krishna and find shelter in that. And this entire material creation is designed to bring us to that point. Yesterday, we were lovingly remembering Srimati Amekala Devi. She went through many ups and downs and all arounds in her life, many tragedies and difficulties and happy times. Everything was there. because of a sincerity in her heart at the end, she was completely taking shelter of Krishna, completely taking shelter of the devotees. And what is the ugliest thing material is having your body disintegrating by something like cancer became a beautiful opportunity. As I was looking at her, I was remembering His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Swami. When he was at the peak of his cancer difficulty, one day his body was trembling due to physical pain. And like every day, I was discussing spiritual subjects with him. But on this day I saw it was hard for him to focus. So I just started to chant Hare Krishna. And he was chanting, we were chanting together, just like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And suddenly I saw something, no matter what pain, whatever challenges, I never saw him cry. He only cried when he was in ecstasy. He began to cry. Tears were pouring from his eyes, and his mouth was smiling. And for those of you who have seen Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, his smile was something unbelievable. It just came from his very soul. And Krishna arranged when it came from his soul, just the color combinations were incredible. Dazzling white teeth with the backdrop of, you know, an ebony-colored African-American face. His smile was just beaming like the sun. It was for real. And then he said, "It doesn't get any better than this." He said, "Today I am tasting the sweetness of Krishna's name. I wouldn't trade my position for anyone or anything else in this entire creation. I'm tasting the sweetness of Krishna's name." We have to learn how to apply our philosophy according to the great people. And actually, as we were listening to our esteemed guest, Pragosh Prabhu, and actually I'm the guest, they're the residents of Pragosh Prabhu and Kripa Maya Prabhu. And difficulties have their purpose if we just see the opportunity. And if we look at the scriptures, Ramayana, Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam, it's all about how devotees, great souls, deal with difficulties. Prahlad, Dhruva, the Pandavas, Ambarish, Hanuman. It's all about insurmountable difficulties. Parikshit Maharaj, Arjuna, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. How they took shelter of the Lord wholeheartedly. Mahajano yena gatasa banta. Now Srila Prabhupada would tell us, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. He wanted us to have quality, happy life. We should find shelter in all the things that Prabhupada and Krishna has given us, especially the holy names, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the association of devotees. It's not that the devotees should inflict pain upon each other, thinking, "I am an instrument to help you take shelter of Krishna." That's absolutely the wrong mentality. There's already enough inflictions in this material world. The devotees are trying, are supposed to help each other to be happy performing bhakti, to give relief. We should give shelter to each other. And what's the greatest way of giving shelter to each other? By reminding each other of Krishna. Mat citta mat gata purana katiyantascha mam nitya. My devotees take great pleasure talking about me, Krishna says. So we have to create community, society, where we're serving each other, giving shelter to each other, caring for each other. Because in that atmosphere, we can actually take shelter. We can find shelter in taking shelter. That is why Rupa Goswami explains, of all the 64 items of devotional service, you can't really do any of them without the association of devotees. Srila Prabhupada, he wrote that the purpose I opened all of these temples is to give people the opportunity to associate with devotees. And what we have to understand, that doesn't just mean the outside people. That also means us, to give us the opportunity to associate with devotees. And therefore our primary duty to Prabhupada is to create the kind of association where the devotees find shelter. They don't want to go anywhere else. And when we have that experience with each other, then we have a powerful, all-attractive energy that the millions of people of the world will look for shelter here. Trinarapi sunichena taror ibasi hishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. This is the way we must chant the holy name if we actually want to find shelter. To cultivate humility, tolerance and forgiveness, eager to offer respect to others, and not to expect or demand respect for oneself. We should be eager to appreciate what others are doing. Krishna is so pleased when you appreciate somebody else's efforts in devotional service. You can make tremendous spiritual advancement just doing that. Somebody may accomplish something very, very good, but they have envy in their heart. Somebody hasn't accomplished hardly anything, even though they're trying their best. But the person who's done very little, who's appreciating the person who's done so much, because he's appreciating, and the person who's done it isn't appreciating others, the appreciator is going to make far more spiritual advancement. Because Krishna doesn't see just what we do. He sees our intentions. He sees our purpose. Shukadeva Goswami tells Parikshit, and Krishna tells Arjuna the same thing. You can understand this message, not because you're a Sanskrit scholar, not because you wear neck beads or tilaks, not because you have a sacred thread, or you're a guru, or a GBC, or a temple president, or a initiation committee chairman, or a head pujari, or anything else. You can understand this message because you are not envious. It is this envy that is such a vicious enemy that tears spiritual societies apart and disqualifies us from any genuine realization. But what to do? We've been cultivating this envy since time immemorial. We can't just say, I don't have envy, Krishna, so give me bhakti. It's there. As is lust and anger and arrogance and greed. But we take commitments, we take vows of initiation. I'm not going to follow the dictations of these enemies within me. I'm going to tolerate them. And I'm going to follow the dictations of the words of Sri Guru and Gauranga. I'm not going to feed the dog of envy. I will feed the cow of what Krishna wants me to do. We won't act, we won't speak according to these anartas. But I will live my life in such a way, some siddhiraditoshanam, that Krishna is pleased. That is the perfection of whatever we do, that Krishna is pleased. And Krishna is pleased by the attitude in which we try our very best to serve him. Initiation is not a social formality. Actually, if that's what you want it to be, that's all it's ever going to be. Initiation is not to with the hope that I'll get better material facilities in my life, better recognition and prestige. If that's what you want it to be, that's all you'll get. It's not to attain mystic powers or even liberation. We're not taking initiation in Lord Chaitanya Sampradaya to be free of suffering. Nadanamna janamna sundarim kavitam vajakadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rohaita kitvai. I do not want wealth or the lovely company of the opposite sex. I do not want prestige. I don't even want liberation. I just want to serve you, my Lord, birth after birth after birth. This is love. This is our aspiration. We must install this aspiration on the altar of our heart and always remember that. And in proper association of devotees, in regularly reading Srila Prabhupada's books and trying to live together on the basis of Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada said books are the basis. That means we have to live together on the basis of what he's speaking. It's Krishna's words. And that is, whatever we're doing it to please Krishna. Our goal is to love Krishna. Our goal is to be an instrument of Krishna's compassion in everything we do, and as far as possible to everyone we meet, and everyone we don't meet. This is the real spirit of initiation. I'm committing myself not only to the external rules and regulations, but to the spirit and attitude of taking shelter and pleasing Krishna as the servant of the servant of the servant. That is what ISKCON is. All the forms of ISKCON are meant exclusively to achieve this purpose in the individuals and the collective society. That's what Prabhupada's books tell us. whatever you do in life, however successful in the eyes of men or women, if it does not provoke a deep, heartfelt attachment and attraction to hearing about Krishna, Srameve Kevalam, it's a waste of time. We have to keep our mind fixed on remembering Krishna in this way. Not remembering Krishna like Kamsa, or Ravana, or Jarasandha, or even Shishupal. We want to remember Krishna like Prahlad, like Hanumanji, like Parikshit Maharaj, and ultimately like the Brijabasis, the gopas and the gopis. They wanted nothing but Krishna's pleasure in every situation. Krishna has headache. If I have to go to hell forever to relieve his headache for even a moment, that's my only goal in life. What will make Krishna happy? You and me, we can't do that now. But when we're speaking about the gopis' love for Krishna, that's just the preliminary revelation of what their nature of their love is. And it goes billions and trillions of times deeper than that. The selflessness of their love. It seems impossible, according to where we're at. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came specifically to give that love to all of us. By his mercy, it is possible. Daivi yeshu guna mai mama maya duratyaya mame vamya papadyate mayame tadarantite. Material life is very difficult to overcome. These three modes of nature are like ropes dragging us. The one who surrenders to me can easily cross beyond it. But when we surrender to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through his parampara, by his mercy, he bestows upon us this highest revelation of the love of the gopis and the gopas of Vrindavan. That's what Prabhupada came to give us. That's what Prabhupada crossed the Jaladuta, enduring heart attacks and seasickness. That's what Prabhupada endured on the Lower East Side of New York, undergoing stroke and poverty, to give us that. Why did he continue? Because he was tasting the sweetness of that love. And he wanted to share it with the world. And he did. Therefore, he is our founder, Acharya. He established Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission on the order of his Gurudev, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, in such a way that this message with the opportunity to realize the love of Vrindavan was taken to every continent of the world. And our position is we're all the servants of the servants of his servants. In Prabhupada's society, whatever our position is, the priority over whatever my particular position or your particular position is that we're all playing our roles to assist Prabhupada in spreading Lord Chaitanya's teachings all over the world. That was the order he received from his Gurudev. We're trying to help him to do that. Haribo. So we shouldn't be attached to position. We should be attached to the service. And this is our service together. So there should be cooperation, there should be respect, there should be appreciation for every other devotee, wherever they may be connected, or however they may be connected. Because this is what will serve Prabhupada's mission. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's compassion. And whatever leaders are in our society, this is our purpose. We shouldn't misunderstand. We're just trying to work together to fulfill Prabhupada's mission of compassion. And with, to whatever extent we are humble and give our lives and souls to take shelter of the holy name and share that experience with others, we will be divinely empowered. But it's not our power. It's Krishna's power. It comes when we please our parampara. So today, those of you who are taking initiation, this is what you're doing. It's not just a mechanical thing, I'm not going to eat meat, and I'll somehow or other get through my rounds every day. This is just things we have to do. It's very serious. The four regulative principles put us more in the mode of goodness. It's like the launching pad. But if you don't, you could be in the mode of goodness, but you're not going to attain any spiritual realization unless you take off. It's like I came on an airplane here. That's a long story. I was sitting in my room in Bombay on my straw mat. My flight to London was canceled, so I really had nothing to do. So I decided I'm just going to go to sleep because this is a very rare, special opportunity. And because there's malaria in Bombay, we set up mosquito net, and I was just really, really looking forward, anticipating, taking rest early. That's what we're supposed to do. But due to Vaishnav expectations, it's very rare. So I was really thinking, I have no programs because I'm supposed to leave tonight. And by the grace of Krishna, he sent this fantastic volcano. So that I could just go to sleep early. But then I made a mistake. Well, actually, it wasn't a mistake. I decided to chant around before I go to sleep. See, if I went to sleep and locked my door, I'd still be in Bombay. But I went upstairs, left my door open, and to the roof and chanted around and came down, and there was a friend who was sitting in my room. Said, "You're going to London tonight?" I said, "My flight is canceled." He said, "Well, come with me to Zambia, Africa." So I said, "Okay." "When are you leaving?" He said, "Immediately." So I packed my bags, I went in front of the deity, and Radha Gopinath, and said, "Should I go?" And right when I was saying it silently, nobody was listening, and I said, "Do I have your permission to go to Zambia? I've never been to Africa in my life." And then as soon as I offered that prayer, the pujari just walked up to Radharani. Srimati Radharani was holding a garland like this, and he took off the garland from her hands and came off the altar and put it on me. I said, "All right, I'm going." So a few minutes later, I was in an airplane. And I took off. And we landed in this place where there was really a small runway. But I was thinking, if you don't have a proper runway, you can't take off. So you need a good runway. Otherwise, a plane just can't take off. And sattva guna, the mode of goodness, is a runway that you can actually take off and get off the ground of material existence. And following these regulative principles, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, you know, there's atheists that do all this stuff. It just helps to put us in the mode of goodness. These things, more than anything else, subjugate us and affect us in sinful reactions as well as the modes of ignorance and passion. If you're chanting Hare Krishna from the modes of ignorance and passion, you're not going to make much spiritual progress. You'll make something. But even if you're living purely in the mode of goodness, you never air off the ground. You just have a good runway. But when you chant Hare Krishna, that's the airplane that takes you to the spiritual sky. But you need that good runway of a service attitude and humility and truthfulness and honesty. It's not just about the four regulative principles. Those are just the very gross necessities. But we read from Prabhupada's book, there's a lot more. We have to be honest. We have to be truthful. We have to be humble. We have to be charitable and compassionate to others as an austerity. To potivyam putra kayena sattva. And we have to have a very sincere and enthusiastic service attitude. This type of detachment is actually the runway. And when we pave that good runway, then when we get on the airplane of the holy name, we very quickly ascend to Goloka Vrindavan. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. Simultaneously, the holy name empowers us to be able to overcome these anartas. But at the same time, our service attitude and enthusiastic to perform the austerity to do it is what helps us to actually access that power from the holy name. Srila Prabhupada gave it such a perfect holistic process. If we really want to make spiritual progress, we have to understand the depths of these teachings. This is what we are doing when we take initiation. We are committing our lives to make this our priority, to purify our hearts by always remembering Krishna, never forgetting Krishna. To be loyal to Srila Prabhupada in the mood of the servant of his servants, and to be united under his lotus feet, to be united by our gratitude for the compassion and love that he has bestowed upon all of us. Thank you very much. Everyone, please recite the 10 offenses to the holy name.